The Three Ways of Christian Perfection. Many of us wonder what we have to do to get to heaven. Do we go there directly when we die? Do we have to spend some time in purgatory? Will we, horror of horrors, end up in hell? It's a fact that no one can get into heaven without being perfect. None of us would be able to survive there if we were still damaged, wounded, and sinful. It would be a bit like trying to survive on the moon without a space suit. So what do we need to do to ensure that we get to heaven in the end? Well, first we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. That's the first step. No one can get to heaven on their own merits. It's only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that the stain of original sin is taken away with its punishment of eternal death. But once someone has accepted the Lord into their heart and given their life to him, there is a spiritual journey that must be undertaken if they are to eventually arrive at the gates of heaven and enter into glory. The early church fathers described the progress of the soul through the spiritual life by defining three states or ways: the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way. The purgative way is the state of beginners. In this stage, it is often difficult to overcome daily temptations, and practicing the virtues can require an inner battle because of the attachments to venial sins. Even though the desire for perfection and progress is there, the person falls frequently. However, if someone repents wholeheartedly of their sins and has a desire to stop offending God, they may eventually move to the illuminative way. It's quite common for someone to remain in the purgative way for a long time, trying their best to avoid sin and practice virtue. The illuminative way is the intermediary stage between purification and total union with God. In this stage, there is enlightenment in the ways of God and a clear understanding of His will for one's life. Mortal sin has been eradicated from their life, and there are now only occasional slips into venial sins. The unitive way is the final stage of Christian perfection. A soul in the unitive stage has a constant awareness of God's presence and habitually conforms to God's will. In this stage, the soul loves God and others without limit. In the purgative way, the person has an uphill battle to get their passions under control, and their aim is to overcome temptations, gradually wean themselves from attachments to worldly things, and practice the virtues, especially charity towards others. What you generally war against in this stage is attraction to sensual pleasure and a reluctance to carry out acts that are in conformity to the will of God. The characteristic virtue of this state is humility, by which the soul becomes increasingly aware of its own weakness and its dependence upon the grace of God. In the purgative way, God is gradually purifying the soul so that it can be ready at last for full union with Him. It's common at this stage to be dismayed at one's lack of willpower and be aware of a certain powerlessness in overcoming weaknesses, faults, and sins, unless we rely on the grace that God provides. There are two types of purification that the soul will experience. Active purification consists of all the holy efforts, mortifications, labours, and sufferings by which the soul tries to reform the mind, heart, and the appetite, while always relying on help from God's grace. Passive purifications are the means God employs to purify the soul from its vices and to prepare it for the exceptional graces of the supernatural life. In the works of St. John of the Cross, these purifications are called nights, and he divides them into two classes, the night of the senses and the night of the spirit. Nevertheless, the purgative way is not all hard slog and grind. In this stage, we will also experience what are called spiritual consolations. These consolations consist of a feeling of fervour when we consider God's goodness or love. Or they can come from an external factor, such as the ceremonies of the church. These consolations are often withdrawn by God and followed by a state of desolation. At this point, the passive purification of the senses begins. Once the soul has reached the illuminative way, the passions are better under control, so that the person can easily keep themselves from mortal sin, but not so easily avoid venial sins, because they still take pleasure in earthly things and allow their minds to be distracted by various imaginations and their heart with many desires. It's called the illuminative way because while you're in it, your mind becomes more and more enlightened as to the spiritual things and the practice of virtue. At this stage, charity is stronger and more perfect than in the purgative way, and the soul is chiefly occupied with progress in the spiritual life and in all the virtues, both theological and moral. The practice of prayer most suitable for this state is meditation on the incarnation, the life of Jesus, and the mysteries of his passion. The fundamental virtue of the illuminative way is recollection, that is, a constant attention of the mind and of the affections of the heart to thoughts and sentiments that elevate the soul to God. Exterior recollection is the love of silence and retirement. Interior recollection is simplicity of spirit and a right intention, as well as attention to God in all of our actions. This does not, of course, mean a person has to neglect the duties of his state or position in life, nor does it imply that recreation should be avoided. The soul in the illuminative way will also experience periods of spiritual consolations and desolations. Its purgation is still somewhat incomplete, and the purification of the senses is not yet finished and perfected. During the period of desolation, it will have to endure temptations against the theological and moral virtues. Sometimes there will be diabolical attacks upon its imagination and senses. Also, God will permit natural causes to combine in afflicting the soul, such as persecutions, the ingratitude of friends, and perhaps even illnesses. Patient suffering and resignation have to be borne during all these trials. The unitive way is the way of those who are in a state of perfection, that is, those who have their minds so drawn away from all temporal things that they enjoy great peace. They are neither agitated by various desires nor moved to any great extent by passion, and who have their minds chiefly fixed on God and their attention turned either always or very frequently to him. It is called the unitive way because it is by love that the soul is united to God, and the more perfect the charity, the closer and more intimate is the union. Souls who have attained the unitive state have consolations of a purer and higher order than others, and are more often favoured by special graces, and sometimes with the extraordinary phenomena of the mystical state, such as ecstasies, raptures, and what is known as the prayer of union. The soul, however, is not always in this state free from desolation and passive purgation, and the Lord sometimes withdraws the feeling of his nearness, and the soul experiences what John of the Cross calls the purification of the spirit. In this purification or dark night of the soul, the Lord purifies the will and stirs up in the soul a longing for the Lord. The three stages of growth towards sanctity are necessary for us to reach heaven. They all involve purification of one kind or another, but also the experience of consolation, joy, and peace. They remind us that life in this world is a vale of tears, and our homeland is not here but in heaven. We were made for union with God, and we will be ill at ease and out of sorts until we are completely united to him. The three ways are the path to perfection. Let us ask God for the grace to undertake that journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that we are all sinners, and yet you love us with a perfect love. You long to have us united with you, and for us to find fulfillment in a life with you forever in heaven. Stir up in us a desire to seek only you, and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to the life of love that you call us to. Give us the courage to set out on the journey towards you. Sustain us in times of weakness and desolation, and make us steadfast in following the narrow way that leads to heaven. Amen.